Welcome everyone, my name is Benjamin Nyland. I'm an Office 365 MVP and I'm lucky to work here at ShareGate. Now, in this video, I want to talk to you about how to increase adoption because there's a fun saying that says, the prettiest picture wins the funding. And it's great that in SharePoint, you've got your list and your libraries, but between you and me, they're boring. And if you want to increase adoption in your intranet, in your collaboration sites, extranet, wherever you've got SharePoint, you want to display the information in a way that's easy to consume, easy to interact with, and that's where the search comes in. So in this video, I want to show you or give you some tips on how you can get started with this to get you a better adoption or just a better looking SharePoint so that people want to use it and it's more fun and easier to use all around. That's very important. It's one thing to do UI, right? It's one thing to make things look good, but it's another thing to do a great user experience. But a lot of the time, they're intertwined, right? It has to be easy to use, and therefore, you've got to change the out-of-the-box SharePoint experience because, yeah. All right, so what I want to talk to you about today is the search. It's going to be the first thing. So we're going to talk about the content, where you're storing it, and what you got to think about. Then we're going to go and talk about search and how that works. Once the search picked up your content, obviously we're going to talk about how you're going to query that. How are you going to go pull the information from your search? And then we're going to look at how to display it properly. So let's get started. Before you begin, we're going to be talking about your content. Your content has to live in SharePoint. It doesn't have to actually, but it's what we're used to. So you've got your content, you're in the list. So data, usually a list of announcements, list of events, list of contacts, partners, whatever data sheet, what used to be in Excel as data sheets is now generally as SharePoint list, right? And you've got document libraries, which is the same thing as a list, but it's for storing documents. So you store your documents in them and then you have your metadata. All of that is very important. What you need is you gotta have a good information architecture. That means you gotta have to have planned what metadata you're going to use because if afterwards you're gonna pull everything from multiple sites or multiple site collections, you're gonna wanna make sure that they're using the same terminology, same things that you can group by, or at least similarities that you can, right? If you have somebody creating a column called customers and then someone else creating a column called clients, but they're exactly the same, it's going to be very difficult for you to pull that information and merge it together if you don't know about it. So it's good to have a good and proper information architecture, and that goes all around. Your site navigation, where things are going to go, but I'm talking specifically about content. Now, I'm no expert in information architecture. I'm just here to tell you that it's important for you to see about it beforehand. What are you going to do to organize that in your list and your document libraries is I strongly recommend you use content types. Content types, amongst many things, is a way for you to group columns together. So if you have a document library and you often do invoices in that document library, and invoices always has the invoice number column, the customer name column, the amount of the invoice column, and you always use them together with invoices, you might as well group those columns together and package them in what we call a content type, right? Because an invoice is a type of content, it comes with these columns, it comes with these settings, but more importantly, when you create columns that are basically in a content type, and when you use a content type, it becomes automatically in SharePoint 2013 available in search. That's right, newsflash. The worst way you can create a column in SharePoint is by clicking on the button, create column in the ribbon at the top of your list or your document library. That's actually a really bad way because you're telling SharePoint you don't care about that column. You're going to use it right here, right now, but you don't really care to reuse it, to have it in search. And that's why when you went in your search results, you can refine by that column, or you can sort by that column, you can find by that column, you can do anything by that column, right? There are exceptions. For example, if you use the manage metadata column, you're good. But any other type of column, if you didn't use it as part of a content type, or if you didn't create it as a side column, you're going to have to do a manual extra step to make it available in the search. If you want more information about side columns and content types, I actually have another 1-hour webinar that really goes through all of that with a blog post in detail. And if you're not comfortable with that, I'm not recommending. I'm telling you, you have to go view that video because it is the basics of SharePoint. You need to understand side columns and content types. It is extremely important. So once you've got that figured out, and you want to organize your content, you want to make sure you've got your side columns, or you put them in content types to group them together and use them. That's going to be very important later when we're going to be looking at the search crawls, because either we're going to be able to use that column or we won't. So very, very important. If you didn't, if you use the regular create column in your list or library, then what you want to do is you want to go into the library setting and actually not even, this is wrong. Index column is something else. I made a mistake, it happens, I'm just human. Index column, actually, let's talk about it. In a list or a document library, it allows you to index the column actually in the SQL Server. That's technical, isn't it? Basically where SharePoint is stored. It indexed the column in a way that allows you to bypass that 5,000 view threshold that you've seen sometimes in your SharePoint document libraries. Everyone's seen it. Don't worry, you're not the only one. We've all seen it. But if you index the column beforehand, they're actually going to be able to do so. So for this particular example, index column doesn't mean search index. Right? However, you'll see that when we'll get to search, there's a way for you to go get that column that you've added manually. All right? All right. So you've organized your content. Everything is well and properly organized. You've got the information you want to use. It could be a simple list of events. I often do this with events and announcements for my intranet, because I don't want to just show a SharePoint list, and I definitely don't want to use the SharePoint calendar for events. So instead, what I do is I use a really boring list, and then I'm going to use the search and the display to make it look awesome. All right, second thing, search. How does that work? You've got your list, you've got your library, you've got to understand crawls. Crawling is SharePoint going around in your SharePoint, going through every list, every site, everything, and picking up what's there, what's been modified, what's been created, what's been deleted. Basically, it's kind of catalog. You know when you go to the library, when you used to go to the library? Oh, all right, that's me. I'm sure a lot of people still go to the library, but if you remember the library, how that worked, you would actually have an index cards, right? You would say, there's so many books. You want to find that particular Lord of the Rings book or Harry Potter book or other books. You want to know where is it, right? So you would go in the index card and it would tell you it's whatever row, where it is in the library and you go and pick it up. That's what the search is. That's it. That's the search in SharePoint. It goes, somebody did the work of crawling. I know, sounds nasty, doesn't it? But there's a crawler in SharePoint, and it's crawling your entire SharePoint environment. And that's based on a schedule that your admins have put in, or the Office 365, which we still don't know what the schedule is. And you're able to collect, it collects the information for you, and it puts it in an index, just like at the library, so that afterwards, you can use your query, which is like going to that file cabinet at the library and looking through the indexes to see where your stuff is and show it to people. It's as simple as that. So in the search crawls, you gotta figure out, I'm not gonna go too technical, there's regular crawl, there's a full crawl, there's incremental crawl, and there's the continuous crawl, which I've learned that the word continuous in SharePoint language does not mean continuous. It means every 15 minutes. Okay there, I'll go talk to the developer team next time. I'm pretty sure it's the marketing team though. Hey guys, you've got continuous crawl. Wow, but it's not continuous. What? Anyway, so you've got different crawl schedules. You can go pick up, it picks up that information based on those schedules, and then it puts it in your index. The index needs work, right? By default, it allows you to use all the side columns and all the side columns in a content type when you're using queries to go find your content. But it doesn't do it for all because it would have too much information. Basically, as the crawl happened and went everywhere, it put everything as what we call crawled properties, because a column is a property. Metadata is a property. When the search crawled, then they become crawled properties. But SharePoint, when you're using search web parts or anything search, they cannot use crawled properties. It's just data here laying around that you've got to organize or manage, get it? Managed properties. You manage your crawled properties and you can use these ones. These you can use in your search. These are the only trick question. What property can you use to build? Manage properties. There is no trick question. There's no exception. Manage properties. Manage properties. We good? Excellent. So a managed property is essentially an empty shell. Look at it as an empty box, but it's the only type of boxes that allows you to be, that can be used by your other things in SharePoint. So essentially, you look at your empty box and you pick the crawled properties that you've got and you put them in the box. For example, remember that example of somebody created a column called customers, somebody created a column called clients. Well, these are two crawled properties, right? We're going to take both of these properties and we're going to put them in our managed property, our box, so that whenever somewhere in SharePoint search, I ask for that box, whatever you can call it whatever you want. You can call it one of the columns, you can call it whatever you want, right? I'm going to call it customers. And then in this box, I've got the customers column and I've got that clients column. So now they both appear. If I say, show me everything that's a customer, it brings both clients and customers together and shows me the results. It makes it easier for me to refine or filter in the search. It allows me to do a lot more with the search because now I've got group things. But it's also the same thing as, you ever notice that whenever you search something, there's always a title? Well, that's because out of the box, Microsoft has already done saying, hey, if you upload an email in SharePoint, the subject line of the email, that's a crawl property, and we're going to put it in the managed property called title. Ah, starting to make sense, doesn't it? So that's what this search schema is. You go to your site collection settings. It's not just for the central administration in SharePoint 2013 or Office 365. In SharePoint 2010 and before, you actually can only do this management of things in the central administration. It's a downside because if your SharePoint team is separated from the IT team, you got to keep going to the people from the central administration and ask for it in 2010 and 2007. But in 2013 and Office 365, you'll be able to manage this at the site collection level, which is really cool. So once you've got all of your managed properties organized and you've put your columns there, and you don't really have to if you use site columns and content types, you can go ahead and skip this schema step, but I still recommend you organize it a bit so you know what you've got. You can put a nomenclature, well, is that even an English word? You've got a wording system for your properties. Like, let's say here at ShareGate, we'll call them ShareGate underscore the name of the property. This way, it allows me to find them easier afterwards, because otherwise it's chaos, just like sites, just like anything, if you're not properly managing those environments. So query. Now that I've got them in the search index, now that I'm at the library, I've got to go pull them up in my SharePoint page so people can view with them, can view them. So to query the information, you've got a couple of choices. You go to your SharePoint pages, and you can add web parts on those pages. You've got the search results web part. This is fun because the search results web part works in any version of SharePoint, even Foundation. So all of the things I'm explaining, you'll be able to do with the search results web part, which is the out-of-the-box web part. My favorite is the content search web part. However, I realize not everyone has E3 Office 365 or Enterprise on-premises SharePoint. So I do both at the same time, but content search is a little step above because the content search actually, when you go in query, so both of these web parts, they come with a query builder. It's a little pop-up window, and it allows you to build the query, and it has a wizard, so it's very simple, and as you use it, you become better at it. Essentially, what you say is you go find where certain managed properties equals certain things, and that's how you go pull the information. Example, I can say, go get me all of the team sites under a particular URL. How? Well, the path is a managed property. In the path managed property, there's the URL crawl property, for example. So I can say in my query builder for both of them, hey, go get everything in the search index where managed property path equals this URL. And also make sure that the managed property web template, which means the site template, equals STS, which means team site. But you learn these things as you go with the wizard because it helps you with that. And as you go, you learn to build more complex queries. And there's a couple blogs out there, including the Sheergate blogs, that allow you to learn how to do this. And Michael Svensson has a great book, or an ebook, if I remember correctly, on how to build these queries as well, which I invite you to check out. Very, very valuable. Another person, while we're on the subject, Ilya Struff, who does a lot of good display templates and a lot of blogs on how to use display templates, which I will get to in just a few moments. So whenever you're using the search results or the content search web part, you're actually building your query. You're saying what you want in the index card using just managed properties, because trick question, what kind of, managed properties, you get it, right? So it's the only thing you can do, so you want to make sure you've got them. So there you can say things like filter and sort and whatever it is you want, you can go get the information. There's another web part called Refiner, and the Refiner web part allows you to apply filters to what comes out of your content search web part or your search results web part. So if I said, show me all the documents or show me all the team sites in my environment, I can add the other web part called the Refiner web part next to it, and it'll add filters. Do you know what the filters are? Trick question? Nope. It has to be a managed property. That's why you have to make sure that if you've created columns and you want them available afterwards in search, they've got to be managed properties. So that's what the Refiner shows. Basically, it shows your managed properties, and when you click on one, it'll filter the results of your search or your content search web part. Lastly, you want to change, and this is where you get the adoption. This is where you make things look good. You've got the content, you fetched it. People created the content in your intranet, the announcements list, the events list, the contacts, the partners, the offices list. But you're not going to make an offices list and not have a Bing map or a Google map pop up. That's where the display template comes in. So what you want to do there is build what we call display templates. Display templates allow you to transform what you see from the search results in a different way. So this is extremely useful. So let me explain how display templates work, because they're not they're not easy to build, but once you understand them, they're amazing. So let's finish up with the display templates here. Basically, if you're used to SharePoint 2010, it's kind of like the item styles in the content query web part, except you don't want to use the content query web part no more, all right? Leave that alone, don't touch it. We want to use search-driven stuff. It's even how Office 365 is building everything. You ever heard of Delve? Same search-driven content, right? You ever heard of the video portal in Office 365? Search-driven content. Your videos are uploaded somewhere, you got the managed properties, and the video portal homepage is actually a search web part with a display template that shows the video in the way that they want you to see it. Whoa. All right, so display templates. How do you build them? Well, first, as part of the display template, you've got to build a control display template, which is kind of container. Let's say you're building a slider. Well, first you've got to build the box around the slider. And in this box, you got to say, I want to go get this CSS file and this JavaScript file that's going to make my animation. That's what we put in the control display template. If you've got an HTML design you're thinking of, then you want to split what gets repeated in the item display template and what doesn't get repeated in your HTML in the control display template. It's the container. The item display template, you guessed it, is how each individual item is going to get displayed. It's one of the main important ones. And I recommend you use Ilya Struff's diagnostic display templates. You can go download it, and it shows you for results all of the managed properties that come out for those results, so you can manipulate them and work with them to create your control and your item display template. So let's recap, because this is important. You create your content, you have good information architecture, you make sure the search picks this up and puts it as managed properties the way you want to work with them. You query them. There's tons of ways to learn how to build new queries, but in any case, you've got the builder, the query builder, directly out of the box with SharePoint, and then you display it the way that you want so that it's interactive, fun, touch-friendly, and more. All of this allows you to gain adoption, have people use SharePoint because your SharePoint is awesome. Thank you, everyone, and have an awesome day.